Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, opening weekend at Dodger Stadium went about as well as we could have hoped. We will talk all about Jackie Robinson Day, the Apple TV broadcast, the Dodgers sweep of the Reds, and a ton more. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now, and then you'll never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time listening or watching, my name is Jeff Snyder. My co-host is Vince Samperio. He will be along for the second half of this episode. We're doing a split episode today to talk all about the weekend. So Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans, just like you are. We've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and the locker room. So we're not quite insiders, which is probably a good thing, but we bring the smart fans perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. So, again, please subscribe wherever you're watching or listening, and let's talk about the Dodgers. A lot to talk about with this weekend, and it's hard to even know where to start because the Dodgers just basically dominated this series with the Reds all weekend. So, I guess I'm going to start with Andrew Heaney. I put out a poll on our Locked On Dodgers Twitter account. Because Dave Roberts, after the game on Sunday, talking about Andrew Heaney, he said, "This is who he is." And so I tweeted out, "Dave Roberts says Andrew Heaney's hot start. This is who he is. Where are you on the sold scale?" And the three options are, "I believe it," "Too soon to tell," or "It's all a mirage." The good news is, "It's all a mirage" only got 2.7% of the votes. We had 221 votes, decent number, 2.7%, so about 10 of you. Think it's a mirage. And I think that's about the right number because I don't think it's a mirage. I don't think it could be a mirage. What we have is a guy who developed a new pitch, started throwing his new pitch, had crazy success with the new pitch. That it's not mirage level. The winning option by almost a two-thirds majority, 62% of you said it's too soon to tell. 35.3% of you said, "I believe it." And, you know, I almost wish that I had put a, I didn't want to be too wishy-washy. I know I have that reputation. Thanks, Brandon. I didn't want to be wishy-washy Jeff and put a wishy-washy answer because, you know, and too soon to tell is already a wishy-washy answer. And that's why it got the most votes. But I was tempted to put an even more wishy-washy answer between "I believe it" and "too soon to tell," where, cause basically here's what I'm where I'm at on the scale. You know, when Dave Roberts says, "This is who he is," this probably isn't who he is. I don't think Andrew Heaney is going to throw six innings of one hit ball with 11 strikeouts on a regular basis, because if he did that, he would win the Cy Young Award. And I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's real. I think the success he's having is real. Now, this game on Sunday was against the Reds. The Reds are a bad team. Their best player, Jonathan India, got hurt in the first game of the series. So he missed the rest of the series. So they're even worse, but Joey Votto is still a good hitter, and Andrew Heaney made Joey Votto look like a bad hitter. And that's an impressive thing. And he's doing it with that slider, and, location is good on his fastball and his slider. Everything about him says, yeah, Andrew Heaney is probably good now, which is close enough to what Dave Roberts said, this is who he is. I think what Roberts meant, I don't think Roberts even meant Andrew Heaney is going to win the Cy Young Award, which is technically probably what his statement literally meant. But I think what he meant was, this is a guy who is going to go out there and he's going to give you a chance to win every game. And he's going to actually pitch pretty well. And that's a huge value for what the Dodgers are paying him, where he fits in their rotation. I mean, I know he's not technically their number five starter because he started the fourth game of the season, but he's basically their number five starter. And getting that production from your number five is crazy. It's crazy. Even if he was their number three starter, what he has potential to do would be far outweigh the cost of what they're paying him and what they're expecting from him. And so it is a huge deal. And Heaney, his interview after the game, it's kind of interesting. He's done these interviews in the locker rooms with Kirsten Watson and other reporters after both of his starts. And I've been surprised at the lack of personality, because Heaney he's kind of funny on Twitter. You know, he doesn't tweet much, but you remember when the Dodgers traded for him in late 2014 and then immediately traded him to the Angels. And, you know, he tweeted something funny about always cherishing his time in Dodger Blue or whatever. And he's had a few other funny tweets over the years. And he's kind of just, I don't know, not in a bad way, just not super interesting. But I did find, especially after the Sunday start, he's honest. And I really enjoy that. Like, if you're somebody who is fascinated with pitching, like I am, I used to be a pitcher. I love pitching. I love the mental part of pitching. And Heaney actually gave some pretty good, honest answers when asked questions specifically about, you know, what are you doing? And he was talking about working his fastball in to then play off the slider, so the hitters have to respect the fastball in, and then so the slider inside is more effective because you throw it on the same plane. They think it's a fastball in, which they have to be ready for, and then they end up swinging it at a pitch that almost hits them in the back foot, you know, that sort of thing. He gave some really honest answers that I found really interesting, because I enjoy hearing pitchers talking about pitching. But, you know, he looked really good. Overall, the Dodgers starting pitching in this series – you know, we talked about Walker Buehler. He pitched on Thursday, so we talked about him on Friday's episode. The last three games of the series, the starters combined for 15 innings pitched, 5 hits, no runs, 18 strikeouts. Just dominant between Heaney and Gonsolin and Julio. And then if you throw in Tyler Anderson there too, there's another 4 innings and 1 run allowed. And Anderson is basically, you know, as the piggyback, he pitched as long as Gonsolin did in that game. So, you know, if you think of them as one starter, Gonsolin and Anderson gave you 8 innings of one run ball. It was really great pitching. Overall, in the last three games of the series, the Dodgers outscored the Reds 17-4, making it 26-7 for the series overall. Just a dominant sweep. One other thing that really jumped out at me on Sunday, you know, we talk about the boom. It's my new catchphrase, you know, the boomer bust thing. It's so overplayed. And so I just want to focus on the boom, and the Dodgers boomed most of the weekend. I mean, they faced Hunter Green on Saturday. Dude throws 100. He already set the record for most, pitches over 100 miles an hour in one game on Saturday. He throws really hard, but the Dodgers found a way to win. That was a close one, 3-1 or whatever it was. Other than that, they just boomed all weekend. And on Sunday, one thing that I really liked is they got the big inning in the fourth inning. And getting it that early in the game is really, really nice. That early boom, it gets pressure off the starting pitcher. It lets Dave Roberts use the bullpen strategically. And so you have, you know, you can let Justin Brühl, you know, you had Mitch White the other day, you know, you have these games where, you can use your bullpen strategically, which allows you to save your high leverage guys for situations where you need them. You know, we didn't see much of Blake Treinen this weekend because he wasn't really needed. That's okay. You know, that's a good thing, because overall that they can keep him fresh, keep those guys fresh, use them in situations as warranted. You know, Craig Kimbrel kind of joked after he warmed up the other day, and then the Dodgers scored a bunch of runs late. I think it was the Thursday game that, Kimbrel was warmed up, ready to go, and the Dodgers scored a bunch in the eighth inning. So he sat down and he said, yeah, I have a feeling that's going to happen a lot this year because these guys score a lot of runs. And, you know, that's the challenge of playing for a team as good as the Dodgers. But the early boom was really nice. It let the Dodgers play their game how they wanted to, took pressure off Heaney and the other pitchers, and all in all, a really fun win to sweep the series. So I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk about specifically about the Apple TV broadcast from Friday, Jackie Robinson Day, some thoughts on that. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and please keep it locked on Dodgers. BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all of the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoff and the start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, I am back. I want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. It really means a lot to us. Maybe today, after this episode, for your next listen, check out the Locked On Now podcast. There's recaps of MLB games with analysis from our local experts, taking fans through the season like no other network, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. So, on Friday night, the game was not on Sportsnet LA. It was an Apple TV exclusive. And the broadcast was hit and miss. And I've seen a lot of criticism of it. And I want to talk about some of that. I want to talk about my thoughts. I watched the game. And one of my thoughts kind of comes down to how I watched the game. I don't mind, like, when the Dodgers are on ESPN on Sunday nights, I usually just turn it on and have the volume turned down low. But that's, you know, Sunday is a family day for me anyway. So the game's just kind of on in the background. So I'm paying attention to the game, but I don't need broadcasters. And I find that I can handle any game on TV like that pretty well. I often have the volume turned down low because I'm talking to my kids or, you know, having dinner with my family or whatever it is. And I'm fine with that because the game's on TV. I can see it. I've often said I wish Charlie Steiner was a TV broadcaster instead of a radio guy because he's pleasant to listen to. He has good stories and stuff. His only real weakness as a broadcaster is he's really bad at describing what's happening in a game. And I don't need that on TV. And so I was able to watch the Apple TV broadcast. There were times that I had the volume up, times I had it down, and times where it was on, but I was just kind of listening or watching the game and kind of tuning out the broadcast. It was somebody with the last name Nelson, Steven Nelson, Katie Nolan, and Hunter Pence were the three in the booth. And you know, Steven Nelson seems to be a pretty good play-by-play guy. There was not too much to criticize there, I don't think. Most of the criticism I saw, a lot of people don't like Hunter Pence. I assume it's because he was on the Giants and it's Dodger fans who don't like him. I like Hunter Pence. I've always liked Hunter Pence, even when he was on the Giants. I don't think he necessarily is great or super insightful at an actual color commentator kind of role, but he wasn't bad. As far as I heard, I didn't mind anything I heard from him. I like Hunter Pence. Maybe that's a flaw of mine, but I like him. Katie Nolan is kind of interesting. I think some of the criticisms of her were overblown. I saw people saying that she said that she didn't understand how important Jackie Robinson was until she started reading about him a couple days ago. I watched the whole game and I listened to most of the game. I never heard her say anything along those lines. So I don't know if it was something she said that came out wrong or something that somebody heard wrong. But whatever it was, it seemed clear that, I mean, everybody knows who Jackie Robinson is, bottom line. Like, especially somebody, Katie Nolan has been working in sports for a long time. I'm positive she knows who Jackie Robinson is and has for a long time. It's kind of, you know, I think people often want to jump to the worst case and believe the worst about somebody who they already don't like. I remember a couple of years ago, Marco Rubio tweeted something about football. And he referred to a field goal as like a 3-point kick or something. And it was clear to an impartial observer that he knew that not all of his followers, most people follow him for politics or whatever, that they wouldn't all necessarily know if he just said a field goal. So he said it in different words. I mean, he used the phrase field goal in the tweet that he was responding to, like it was a thread and he'd already said field goal. So then he said 3-point kick as kind of a way, hey, those of you who don't know football, that's what a field goal is. It's a 3-point kick, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, Marco Rubio is a very polarizing guy. People who already disliked him jumped to him. Oh, he's an idiot. He doesn't know anything about football. Anybody who knows anything about Marco Rubio, he's from Florida. He's obsessed with football like everybody from Florida. So that was kind of the vibe I got with Katie Nolan, that people who already didn't like her voice or didn't like, she didn't add much to the broadcast. It's a very specific niche that she fills, and it's almost, I don't know, I could see people being upset about she maybe reinforces a stereotype about female baseball fans because she did say a couple things, ask a couple questions that I think she's just, you know, trying to keep the conversation going. And we see it all the time. Joe Davis will ask Oral Hershiser questions that Joe Davis already knows the answer to, but he knows Earl Hershiser, the former Cy Young Award winner, can explain this in a cool way to our listeners. And so Joe Davis will ask a leading question to Earl. I feel like Katie Nolan was trying to ask some of those leading questions to give Hunter Pence an opportunity to share his expertise or whatever. And it sometimes came across as her not knowing what she was talking about. But I think that might have been from people who already didn't like her. So all in all, the graphics on the game, not graphics, but the video quality was really good. I like the score bug and the different things. Like, it feels like you're in an app, which makes sense because it's Apple producing it. So it feels like you're in an app on your phone or on your iPad or whatever. It has a cool look. I hate the statistical stuff they put in the bottom right corner only because we don't have any insight into where they're getting the numbers. And so many of the numbers are clearly wrong or made up that it's hard to trust anything that's there. I don't like that. If they would explain where it's coming from and the numbers, if they would actually put numbers that make sense there, that would be one thing. But overall it was like they're made up numbers and I don't like that. Everything else about the video I liked, and the audio, the broadcast, I was fine with it. I wouldn't want it every day, every game. But for a game, I didn't mind it. I didn't mind having a game that I can just kind of tune out, listen in once in a while when I want to. And overall, I love having Joe and Earl. Eric Karras is really growing on me. I like Joe and Eric. I wouldn't want to have this Apple TV broadcast very often, but once in a while, I didn't mind it at all, honestly. That's going to do it for me. Vince has a lot more to talk about this weekend. I haven't touched on the offense at all, really, other than saying that the Dodgers outscored the Reds 26-7 in the series. You know, I focused more on the only allowing 7 runs in the 4 games part. Vince is going to talk more about the offense and, the bullpen a little bit, that, you know, all of the basically, 5 of the runs that they allowed were by the bullpen. 5 of the 7. So even that, 5 runs in 4 games for the bullpen, not bad. But Vince will probably touch more on that and the offense. So plenty more to talk about. Thank you all for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. I appreciate it. Vince appreciates it. We love talking Dodgers with you. So thanks again, and Vince will be along in a minute.
Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar out there. We've told you plenty of times. I've told you plenty of times. I've actually spent money on Built Bar, my own hard-earned money on Built Bar. And it's been worth it. It is something that is very versatile. They call it maybe the Chris Taylor of protein bars. It's great. Tastes great. Chris Taylor's great. I don't know how he tastes. But he can do many things on the field in terms of where he plays. Built Bar can be many things. It can be a pre-workout, post-workout, snack, dessert, maybe even a meal replacement if you're really cutting on your calories. Whatever it is, Built Bar can do it for you. Low calorie, low carb, high protein, high fiber, low sugar. All the good stuff without the bad stuff. Tastes great, like a candy bar. Get Built Bar in your life and see what can happen. What can change about your life? And right now, if you go to Built.com and use the promo code LOCK15, you can get 15% off. That's promo code LOCK15 at Built.com for 15% off. All right, yo, Dodger fans. Vince here to close out the episode. And like Jeff said, I'll be talking about the offense and the relievers, both positives in certain senses. Because while Jeff did mention that the relievers and technically gave up most of the runs this weekend, it was relievers that probably aren't going to last when the rest of the reinforcements come in. And even if they did, it was mostly once the game was already out of hand for the most part. So that's where we're at. On Friday, you had Tyler Anderson in relief. Gave the Dodgers 4 innings, 4 strikeouts, and 1 run allowed. And then Craig Kimbrel got his second save, a clean inning for the Dodgers. So not too much in terms of relievers on Friday. But Tyler Anderson, once again, looking good. And now with Buehler looking good, Julio had a recovery from his first start. Kershaw looking great. Heaney looking good. Gonsolin and Anderson, I mean, they could continue a piggyback form. Even if they had to put one or the other into a full-time role, they're both looking good so far, so it's going to be interesting to see what the Dodgers do there. Wouldn't mind them going to a six-man rotation, though, if that was something that was presented. So we'll see what happens. Move on to Saturday's game. Julio goes five. You got Evan Phillips, one scoreless inning. David Price, a scoreless inning with a couple strikeouts. Price has been looking pretty decent so far. And then you got Mitch White, who came in, tried to go a second inning. First inning was really good. Second inning, he struck outside first inning. Second inning didn't go as well. Ended up giving up a pair of runs. Daniel Hudson had to come in, ended up getting the save. But, you know, Mitch White realistically is a guy that's going to give you some length. I don't know if, yeah, he's pitched that late in the game before. But regardless of it, you know, he's not one of the top, like, eight arms in the Dodgers bullpen. Obviously would have preferred him to not give up runs, but, you know, remains to be seen. And then on Sunday, you had one inning from Alex Vesia, clean inning. And then Justin Brohl came in for two innings, did give up a run. But even so, like I said, it was already out of hand by that point. And Justin Brohl also probably will be one of the next guys on the chopping block once one of the other more established arms like Tommy Kahnle or Caleb Ferguson comes back. Speaking of that, Phil Bickford is back. Garrett Clevenger was optioned down. Bickford's back. The Dodgers say he's ready to go back-to-back. He's ready to go when they need him. Dave Roberts said he'll avoid using him more than an inning for now. But as he continues to build up, then he will, you know, be that guy again. I'm interested to see what the plan is for Bickford in terms of usage. Last year we saw him kind of like the Trinan, the backup Trinan, which meant like if it was fifth, sixth inning and there was a big situation, bases loaded, no outs or whatever the case is, he kind of became that fireman type and came in and tried to save the day and for the most part did a pretty good job. So I'm interested to see if they're going to do that again, if they're going to give him a little bit more set position or, you know, what remains his role. We're going to have to wait and see. But Phil Bickford's back. Like you said, Kahnle and Ferguson should be back here in the next next 2 to 3, 4 weeks maybe. And then the Dodgers will round out that top-notch bullpen that we talked about most of the offseason. So there wasn't too much to see this weekend from the bullpen. There wasn't too many pressure cooker situations. But regardless, nonetheless, for the most part, the guys that matter did pretty well. And that's all you can really ask for. Now, in terms of the offense, it was an escalator weekend. They put up 3 runs on Friday, 5 runs on Saturday, and 9 runs on Sunday. You know, Friday's game was, it was interesting. They had Gutierrez, the starter for the Reds, gave up the 3 runs. They picked him up sporadically, like one run. The Dodgers were shut down by the bullpen that day. But regardless, they got the job done. Trey Turner, star of the weekend for the most part, had 2 hits on Friday with an RBI, had the big home run against Hunter Green on Saturday, and ended up having 3 hits that day. And then he ended up adding, he didn't get a hit on Sunday, but ended up having the first 2 days. So top of the order was the story of the weekend, and for good and bad, Trey Turner, like I said, had a strong Friday and Saturday, picking up 5 hits in those 2 days. And then you had Freddie Freeman, who went 4 for 5 on Sunday, had his first RBI and a base hit on Saturday. And, you know, Freeman's up to .324 batting average. Trey Turner's up to .316. Both those guys are doing what we expected them to do. The one guy at the top of the order that hasn't quite got there yet and had a day off this weekend. But other than that, was 0 for the weekend, was Mookie Betts. Mookie is now down to .226 early in this season. And I guess, you know, the good part about Mookie this weekend, only 1 strikeout. He had been striking out a little bit higher clip. So making contact, I don't think it's any reason for concern yet, especially when everybody else is starting to contribute and hit in different ways. But I do think that it's easy to see why, twofold. easy to see why Freddie Freeman hadn't yet picked up his first RBI as a Dodger, because Mookie hadn't been on base too often ahead of him. And then Freddie, early in the earlier in the season, hadn't quite found his stroke yet, or was having a little bit of bad luck. Where now he still had a little bit of bad luck. I think his hardest hit balls, most of them, have been out so far this season. But, you know, you just look at Freddie Freeman, and the guy can hit. He's hitting, shooting the ball to left field, shooting the ball up the middle, you know, pulling the ball. He's doing it all. And it's really great to see, because, I mean, obviously we've seen a lot of guys come for the Dodgers batting left-handed. But for the most part, you know, Max Muncy, even Jock Peterson back in the day, guys that could be somewhat neutralized by the shift. Freddie Freeman can't really be neutralized by the shift, and realistically it would not really benefit you too much to shift against him, because like I said, especially this year, I don't know if he's looking more to do it. This is the first time we've seen him in a capacity of longer than, you know, a 7-game series or even a 3 or 4 game series for the most part. So for us, you know, I don't know if he actively tries to go the other way this much, or if that's something he's trying more this year. Regardless of that, it's a matter of, I love to see it. And, you know, if Mookie gets on base, I feel like Freddie's going to knock him in most of the time. So, you know, hopefully Mookie can get it going, having a little bit of a slow start there. Other people still having a slow start. Max Muncy, Justin Turner, both haven't really figured it out. Muncy's hitting 167, JT's hitting 235, although JT did have a couple hits on Sunday. So, yeah, not a lot of power from at least Justin Turner's side. Muncy's had some extra base hits, slugging a little bit better than he is hitting. But either way, I mean, Muncy also had a couple hits on Sunday. So hopefully they get things going. It's a matter of, the good thing with this offense is a matter of, as long as 3 to 4 people have it going any given day, they're still capable of putting up a lot of runs. But it would be a lot better if everybody had it going. The other thing with, you know, this boom or bust that we've been talking about is that the Dodgers do get that big inning. I mean, they had Friday, they scored, you know, only 3 runs, 3 separate innings. But then you got a 4-run inning on Saturday, you had a 7-run inning on Sunday, and, you know, those big innings obviously add up. And when you're putting up 7 runs in an inning, do you really care if they don't score the other innings? Yeah, obviously, like you said, we would like them to score every inning, but if they're not, I would not be mad at them scoring at least 7 runs in one of those innings. And that's what they did. And it was all, I think the best part, too, about most of the offense so far, I mean, obviously Trey Turner had the big home run on Saturday, but a lot of the runs are being scored without the home run. They had no home runs Friday, 1 home run Saturday, no home runs on Sunday. When you can put up 9 runs with no home runs, that's a pretty good sign of a good offense. And just imagine when they do finally start figuring it out in terms of power stroke, the offense is going to be even more fun. I do think the Dodgers probably, just based on early season Los Angeles, a little bit cooler weather, the marine layer maybe a little bit more thick than in the summer. They probably were robbed of at least 2 or 3 home runs over the weekend, just balls that ended up dying in the air or dying near the warning track. So it's not like, you know, they are putting some charge into the ball. It's just not working out in terms of actual results of home runs, but they're definitely hitting the ball very hard a lot of times. And then you had Cody Bellinger continuing his up and down, you know, a couple hits here. You know, went 0-for-2 of the days, had a pair of hits the other day. So, you know, he's still figuring things out. But, you know, at the most part right now, he's making contact sometime. I mean, like most of the time, you know, not striking out every single at-bat like he was before. So still progress there. And then you got Chris Taylor, who's off to a hot start. The hottest start in terms of OPS and batting average. He is hitting 333 with the 882 OPS. So Chris Taylor continues to chug along and pick up where he's always been, minus maybe the 2018 season. So offense, fun. You put up, you know, a bunch of runs, enough runs, obviously, but you pick up a bunch of runs. The pitching shuts them down, only allowing 5 runs. And it's hard to argue with the results of the weekend. Four-game sweep to start it. Now they head to Pitt. Not they don't head. They stay home, play against the Braves, an NLCS rematch of the last 2 years. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how they stack up. The Braves coming off a split in San Diego, 2-2. Ronald Acuna is not back yet, so they won't be seeing him. Freddie Freeman, obviously, against his old team. I'm interested to see, you know, what the atmosphere is like. I'll be there on Monday and Tuesday as of now, I think. So, yeah, it'll be fun and a good weekend for the Dodgers. Good weekend for all three aspects. I like breaking this up into aspects when we come back on these Monday episodes because there's always so much to talk about. So when you break it down, starters, relievers, and offense, it's a little bit easier to kind of break down everything that happened. But that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thanks for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. If you need a second listen of the day, check out Locked On MLB with Paul Francis Sullivan, a.k.a. Sully. He brings you a unique perspective on the major leagues past and present. We'll be back tomorrow talking about Monday night's matchup with the Braves and seeing hopefully the Dodgers continue this five-game win streak. They currently sit the same as the San Francisco Giants at 7-2. Both on a five-game win streak. So I don't know if the Giants are going to replicate what they did last year, but at least early on, it's already a battle with them. So we'll see if that we'll see what happens there. I can't wait till the Dodgers play them. But do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. If you're not already listening every day, please try to add at least one or two more times to your week. Baseball season in full swing, and we're going to be here talking every day, talking about all the games, talking about all the matchups, and seeing how these Dodgers are going to do the rest of this season. If you have any friends or family, coworkers, somebody that likes the Dodgers, make sure to let them know about us. You can follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or send us a text, you can do so at 323-863-5625 or send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car, or if you're at home, tell your smart device play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. Have a good one.